Okay, so for this week, we'll do some metta meditation for the third stage of metta for the neutral person. So we've been working semi-systematically through the development of metta meditation. And when we come to the third stage, metta for a neutral person, pretty much the same as the second stage. So we keep all those principles that we've borne in mind for the second stage. We keep them all going, keeping the feeling of metta embodied and grounded, keeping the mind stable, steady, not thinking or imagining about that neutral person or going out to them, but keeping the mind focused on the feeling of metta. And when we come to choose a neutral person, it's sometimes a little bit hard because the nature of neutrality is that we don't like to think about it. We get bored of it. The neutral person is precisely the person who we don't think about. Normally we think about either the one that we love and want to be with or the one that we hate. So you have to think of somebody neutral. Now, the neutral person should be not somebody who's too close to you. If they're too close to you, then it's unlikely that your emotions are going to be very neutral. They're more complex. Somebody who you know reasonably well, but you're not that close to. It might be, for example, somebody else living in the community here at Santi who you know, but you don't know all that well. You're not that close to. Maybe some, or could be some the lay visitors who come from time to time, or a friend that you know from somewhere, someone that you've worked with, something like that. You should know their name and have a reasonable idea of who they are. And of course it's impossible ever to have completely neutral feelings about anyone. We always have some kind of emotional response, but just generally someone who's pretty much neutral, doesn't have to be complete. And remember that when we come to this neutral person, this stage of the meditation, the defilement that is most characteristic is delusion, forgetfulness. We'll fall asleep, or we'll get bored, or our mind will just drift. Because we're not interested in the neutral person. So if you find this is happening, then as always, in the metta meditation, we just come back to an earlier stage, either metta for a loved one or metta for oneself. Either one will do, and rebuild the metta there until it's strong and you feel like trying again on the third stage. And that's how you learn when you're ready. When you're experienced, you'll know when enough is enough, and when you're ready to go to these different stages. But while you're learning the technique, it just takes time and experimentation. You just have to try it out and see. Sometimes it will work, sometimes not so well. So, because of this tendency of the mind at this stage to drift off into sleep or to get bored and so on, it's good to not choose. For your third person, don't choose somebody who's very delusory. Okay, so don't choose somebody who's very stupid or very lazy and inattentive and sleeps a lot or something like that. And choose somebody who's relatively kind of normal, average psychologically. And I know this because I had this problem myself. I chose somebody. When I was developing this meditation for my third person, I chose somebody who was actually, I didn't have much feelings about one way or another, but they were a very lazy person, used to sleep a lot. And so when I did the metta for that, I found I was kind of catch the mood of that person. So it's best to choose someone who's got a fairly neutral persona, at least as far as you know. So that's about it for the third person, and there's no other particular dangers or problems there. Oh, well, sorry, one thing I should mention is that the problem of the boredom that happens, sometimes what happens is that when the mind loses its energy and interest in the meditation, and particularly when the concentration is relatively good but the mindfulness is not so strong, then you find the mind tends to drop into what they call the bhavanga state, or sometimes they call moha samadhi, the delusion meditation. And so that kind of state of mind where basically your mind switches off. It's a little bit like a deep dreamless sleep, and your mind can just sort of go into that state. And it's actually very peaceful. So the state of bhavanga is a very peaceful state of mind. Nothing's happening. But there's no mindfulness there. And so if you don't understand the meditation, it's quite possible to mistake this state for a state of samadhi. And it's not uncommon among meditators. They think that they're getting into samadhi. In fact, the mind's just switching off. And of course, the difference is that in samadhi, the mindfulness is very strong, the awareness is very bright. You're highly conscious in this state of bhavanga. There's a very minimal consciousness. You're either not aware at all, or awareness is very dull. So if you find that you're falling into that state, usually you don't realize it at the time. It's of course the nature of delusion. And that only you sort of, at a certain point, you realize that your mind's dropped into this state. So you remember that metta always comes with a pleasant feeling, always has a sense of rapture and joy with it. Okay, so if you're meditating and it doesn't have that rapture and joy, then that's not metta. That you need to go back again to the first stage or the second stage and rebuild the feeling of metta. Always has to have the rapture and joy with it. So if you're at that third stage and you realize that this has happened and the rapture has gone away and it's replaced by an equanimous feeling, even though it's very tempting, equanimity is very tempting, it's very peaceful, it's very easeful. Okay, so you'll be tempted to just stay there and enjoy the peaceful state of mind. But it's not going to get you anywhere, okay? It doesn't hurt. Being in that state of mind doesn't hurt. You're not doing anything harmful, but it doesn't help either. So if you realize that's happened, then you need to rouse yourself out of that, come back again to the first stage or the second stage and redevelop the metta again, and watch out for that. Don't let it become a habit. If it happens occasionally, then it's not a big problem. But if it starts to happen regularly, then it can be a serious obstacle in your meditation. So watch out that that doesn't happen to you. So let's now do some guided meditation for the next 20 minutes. And so before we start, I want you to all choose a loved person and a neutral person. And develop metta for them as the meditation proceeds. focused in the heart, and bring up the words, may I be happy, may I be happy, may I be happy. Allowing the feeling of metta to well up and spread out through the whole body. Until the whole body is soaked and suffused with the gentle, warm feeling of loving kindness. into the second stage, keeping the mind still and steady. May the loved one be happy. May the loved one be happy. May the loved one be happy. Keeping the mind even. Keeping the metta for the loved one, even and steady through the whole body. And then to the third person. Just putting the name of that neutral person into the words of metta. May that neutral person be happy. May that neutral person be happy. May that neutral person be happy. We're now coming near the end of the meditation. From the neutral person to the loved one. May the loved one be happy. From the loved one to oneself. May I be happy. Then letting the words of metta go. Letting the feeling of metta fade away. And allowing the mind to return to a neutral space. Empty, open, clear. Mind empty and clear. Just take a minute to reflect and review on how that meditation's gone, inquiring into cause and effect. What just happened? How did I use my mind? How did my mind change during that meditation? What's my mind like now compared to how it was at the start of the meditation? And finally, we can dedicate the merit of our practice. May all beings be happy. May all beings be well. May all beings rejoice in the merit that we've made through our practice. May all beings finally realize Nibbana.